Hello, everyone. Get started in just a couple of minutes.
Morning, Chris. Thanks again for getting that discount set up for us for Vancouver.
Oh, sure. I'm glad that worked. They were very generous with us to give us a discounted rate and to give us a room. Well, while we're waiting for everybody to join, just a few quick housekeeping items. So first, the agenda. We have four topics today. Michael's going to talk about logging, and then Avi's going to talk about Azure integration through multi-cloud. Parviz is going to talk about microservices. This has been postponed for a couple of weeks. And then Sumithra is going to come back with an update on OSM. So we will have a busy call today. To flip over to our architecture planning meeting, we are going to have the meeting on Wednesday, May 23rd in Vancouver at OpenStack. The registration code came out yesterday, and I sent an email, and it's also posted on the wiki. ONAP 99, log in through the OpenStack registration, when you select the Wednesday day pass, just use that code, and it'll give you the reduced registration rate. If you do need a visa letter, I know it's late, they can still potentially process, they're looking for it, so if you do need a letter, use the OpenStack form. We'll be in the East Building of the Convention Center. And as soon as I have the exact room, I'll post that as well. The agenda is starting to fill in. If you have anything that you want to present, please let me know, we can make adjustments to this as necessary. And I see we are at quorum now. Let's see. Michael, are you on?
Yep.
Great. Let me turn it over to you.
Okay. So I'm the PTL of the logging project, and we have been going through our specification for Casablanca. So we've had minor changes from Beijing, and we're going to get a diff of that for the next meeting. This meeting, I won't demo anything. I'm just heads up on the changes. We've done 5 weeks of meetings and kept notes of our meetings on the page. There's been about 12 people usually on average that come to the meeting. The biggest change, it's not really a lot except for an extra marker, invoke return to do call graph tracking. But the big thing is the MDCs were reordered. So a quick high level MDCs, I didn't know what it meant when I first heard it. Well, map diagnostic context. So it's key value pair logging instead of pipe delimited. So you can have, it's not positional. It's geared for Elasticsearch. I'm sure everyone's aware that the logging project provides an elk stack since Amsterdam. These are our three containers. There's a file beat in a lot of the containers. If we just grab 2/2, 2/2. So all these guys are pumping logs. This is on a clustered environment. These pump into the elk stack, and you can go all the way to Kibana and search in the logs. And I'll do a demo in the next meeting. We're exposing all the three node ports right now to the three containers. So that's a bit of infrastructure. So for adherence to the logging spec, it's basically as we go, we'll try to provide a migration path for anyone that's not in MDCs and work with each of the teams. So the ones, the fields in green are we've marked those as required. Of course, as the teams go, they'll work their way down the list. Like the most important ones are the two, request ID and verification ID. As you work your way down, we get to required, but only when available. So these won't be in every log that gets emitted. And then we've got a couple that moved from the last spec. They didn't make sense anymore. We left those up as red for now, just as a diff, and they'll probably be removed. That's pretty well the gist of my talk. We're still meeting on this, and so we meet every Tuesday, like in an hour from now. We have Friday meetings on the spec, or no, Thursday meeting at 11:30. Probably have a couple more of those. Now we're starting to look into how this can be done. And the big thing is, we got a proposed rename, but we weren't going to go through this until we do a feasibility analysis and like impact and how much this can be done. So for now, it's not really a lot of changes. It's just a reordering of priorities and a couple rename of the fields that shouldn't impact anyone. Even we have a lot of the older names still here. Are there any questions so far? Yeah, so I just thought it would
Michael,
be
Michael,
hi, Bramke.
A quick question.
So
if somebody is not using the sidecar, that filebit container, they're not using this format, or is it synonymous? Or?
Well, to help for hybrid environments, there is a proposal to put in, there's two proposals. One is to revisit the sidecar approach for daemon sets. The other one is to expose the, which we've already exposed it, expose the logstash port. So it can accept data from anywhere. Theoretically,
won't
happen in space. So trying to provide as big a migration path to operations of all the companies as possible.
I'm guessing Fluentd is a desired approach for Casablanca, right? I mean, it's a daemon set we will launch, correct?
Yeah, there is... did I have one on Fluentd? Yeah, there's a... it's not in the scope of this sprint. Yeah, no details on it. There's a couple of these. Basically, it's on our radar. We need to look through this. It's a good point.
Okay.
Anyone's welcome to join the meetings. Any suggestion you have to help implement this as painlessly as possible or whatever, or you have any epics you'd like to see up, we're open. That's it. So, Chris, I'll ask for a meeting on the next one. So you guys, when's the 23rd? That's 2 weeks from now, right? You'll be busy 2 weeks from now.
Yeah, 2 weeks from now. Actually, we're going to be traveling for the face-to-face meeting in Vancouver.
Okay. So I could ask for another one on the 15th and try to do some demo of an actual running example. Otherwise, we could do the 29th.
Sure.
I'll ask for the 15th if you have it.
Okay. I think that'll work. Let me follow up after the call.
Thank you very much. Okay.
Okay.
That's it for me. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Chris, is the face-to-face confirmed, actually?
Chris, are you muted?
Chris, are you talking?
Oh, sorry. Stuck on mute. Yes, the meeting is confirmed. It's Wednesday the 23rd. The registration code came yesterday. So you do need to register on the OpenStack website to get a badge. Otherwise, we'll get stopped by security. But they did give us the greatly discounted $99 registration code. The agenda is filling in. People have been requesting sessions, and this is continuing to be updated. But it is confirmed we are going to have the meeting on the 23rd in Vancouver.
Chris, are we? Is there ability facility for remote people to join?
I can post a bridge. The issue is no promises about the acoustics. We're in a meeting room at the OpenStack conference, and I'm not sure, given the facilities, how well the audio will travel. Mm-hmm. We can try to start it up, and we'll do the best we can. You know how some of these meetings go.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Chris, will it be recorded?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks.
Sure. Okay. So let's move on to the next topic. Avi, Azure integration. Do we have Avi? Okay, we'll come back to that. Do we have Sumitra?
Hi, Chris. I'm on. Yes.
Would you like to do OSAM?
Sure. Yeah. Meaning, I think it's more of a follow-up. We had several questions before. We kind of tried to address some on the use case yesterday. Let me share what we have so far, and then, we will work with the community to answer all the questions. I think Bora, are you on? Did you join the call?
Yeah, I am. So would you like me to
add
the slides?
Can you bring up the slides, please? Yeah, since you have the latest one.
Mm-hmm.
I think, one of the big question I think that was raised commonly on last week's call was, what is the value add, right? I think that's what we heard more across, from many people, what are we trying to do here? So I just kind of wanted to, for us to go back to the basics and see you know what we actually intended to do with this project. meaning, I understand it's a little different from what we may have done, you know, in other projects, because in this so our main objective is to be able to deploy Volta, right? And it's and I do want to identify that ONAP is not the only way that several service providers will choose to do. Right. Because there are instances where you will be where the Volta will be managed by the legacy system, legacy OSS, BSS, and also even in our case, it would be a combination of the two. So we do want to start using ONAP and see what the capabilities are. But at the same time, like we mentioned previously, the subscriber management, all of that was out of scope. So there is a need for another system to manage subscribers. So with ONAP, you know, we don't plan to intend, meaning at least we don't intend to manage everything is what I mean to express by the statement. To begin with, you know, we are only focusing on very minimum capability, monitoring of the pods, since it will be in like hundreds of thousands of locations, and these are in the serving office and not in a typical data center or a cloud-like environment. So we call these as, you know, more of, you know, pod in a box, or, you know, that's why we call it a pod, right? So I don't want, meaning I know there were several questions about cloud, and I think, you know, for simplicity, I would just focus on it is, you know, it is pretty much like a box. So, you know, to keep it simple, that's, you know, I think we'll just leave it at that. Very minimalistic infrastructure, and, you know, that's what I meant by it's not a data center environment. And the objective here is to also be able to try out what we can do with ONAP. I understand there is a lot of concern about the value add. But, you know, we're also learning. So, meaning, I think we want a chance to come in and say, demonstrate what ONAP, how ONAP can be used, for example, to register or monitor these pods to begin with. And then, you know, later on, we can expand on, you know, what can be, you know, ported into ONAP, maybe more functionality moved to ONAP. I think that if you can move to the next slide, please. Think that we would see it as more of a long-term for the ONAP community and the ONF community to work together and see how a cored cloud can be supported. So that's why in the short term, and that's one reason, you know, without PNF, it seems to be like a straightforward method to begin with, to at least get our, you know, to kind of get a view into ONAP, meaning it's both communities, right? It's kind of a new project. So that seemed to be like a good way to get into the process and understand more. So there will be like a PNFD similar, I think that's what I'm looking through the PNF registration and, you know, the process within that in the project. So PNFD is what I think we will probably be focusing more on and trying to see what exactly we need to configure. At this point, like I said, you know, it's going to be very high level on, you know, how do you register a pod, for example, you know, with central office. So it will have basic information, and we still are working through exactly the configuration, but then that's the awesome team's objective. I'm trying to think.
So I guess,
Smita, I don't know if this answers the value add question. Go ahead.
I was just going to ask, so are you still trying to model this pod as a PNF and ONAP instead of having ONAP, instead of modeling the actual disaggregated? I don't understand your use of this word disaggregated. Are you modeling in SDC each of the real PNF and VNF components, or you're hiding those as an opaque structure behind this artificial PNF?
It's the latter, right? Because, you know, to model each of the VNFs, I think it's a lot more complicated. That could be, you know, something that's the long-term thing, right? I think I don't think it's straightforward to do it like right now in the timeframe that we're, you know, looking at in 2018. That I think would require more work. Like I said, you know, if it becomes that, you know, operators would have more of a cloud infrastructure in the future and manage and be able to manage all of these VNF workloads separately, I see a good use case at that time. But right now, I think we're all deploying it more, like I said, sort of in a box, right? It's not a huge infrastructure that goes into all of these locations. And that's where the value of keeping it as a PNF, you know, at least for us, I think that's where the value is.
So I didn't understand that answer at all. So what is deploying the VNFs? What are you just like going to OpenStack and GUIs and or what is actually deploying the VNFs? What is aware of the VNFs that exist?
So the VNFs, well, when I said the disaggregated pod, right? So that is all contained within that pod itself or the VNF.
Yeah, no, but right. What is the, so it, maybe a picture.
They're all containers, so we will be using Kubernetes.
Is there a system or is it humans that are actually instantiating the VNFs through Kubernetes? And if it's the system, what is that system? It's not ONAP, obviously, because ONAP doesn't know they exist. What is the thing in your proposal that knows that the VNFs do exist?
My name is Gopinath. I'm a part of the ONF team. I might be able to answer that question.
Go ahead, Gop.
Right now, so we have we are in a transitional stage right now, moving away from a traditional bare metal and up sort of bootstrapping infrastructure that we have as what we call a reference implementation. We are transitioning out of that sort of a model into a more loosey-goosey, loosely coupled set of small infrastructure pieces. We have broken up our infrastructure deployment into two big parts. One would be a bare metal and up infrastructure deployment that would include OS deployment and configuration, the fabric deployment and configuration, and a bunch of infrastructure components like Ansible, a machine as a service MaaS, and potentially OpenStack. The reason I say potentially is because we want to manage everything in as flexible way as possible, we do want to deploy OpenStack as a Kubernetes deployment. As a part of the infrastructure deployment, Kubernetes is also deployed. So that would be the lower level of the deployment framework. On top of this, we will actually have some of the control plane pieces. One is Volta, which we consider as a control plane component. And then we also have Onos, which has an app that lets us talk to Volta. And then we have XOS. But each of these are not, how can I put this? Each of these are not dependent upon each other. Each of these can be independently deployed and tested and used, if you so choose. Each of these have been implemented as Helm charts. So coming back to the original question, how it is going to be deployed, we can definitely provide a reference implementation or design on how you would nominally deploy it, let's say using a simple Ansible playbook, but we are not mandating it. Every operator has their own operations automation workflow or set of tools. So we are trying very, very hard to not mandate a specific path of automation, but at the same time, we do provide a reference implementation.
Okay, you answered much more than my question. So I think inside of there, you said Onos. Is it? I wish there was really a picture, an architecture picture on the screen, because it would make it so much simpler. But did you say Onos is the one that knows that there are VNFs and that there are PNFs, and it's not just one opaque pod?
Sure. Yes, technically, yes. But for the upcoming release, the way we are managing, and that's part of the reason, I guess, why we are suggesting this PNF approach. For the upcoming release of Cord, especially around Volta, we don't have any VNFs running in on the compute nodes. All the data plane components are actually on the fabric. They're programmed into the fabric. It's only the control plane components that are running in on compute. So that would be XOS, Volta, and ONOS.
I'm still not getting what is the added value that you're trying to use ONAP for? It sounds like you've got you want to model in ONAP a opaque pod, which doesn't quite really exist. You're going to make up a PNF descriptor for it, so that ONAP can what receive. What is it ONAP is actually doing? It sounds like ONOS is doing much of what the day job, what I would expect the day job of ONAP to be. And why are we not having ONAP do the day job, do its day job? Why don't we model into ONAP the actual VNFs and PNFs?
I think ONAP might be a better.
Hey, Gil. Gil, hi.
And also a very related question for my clarification. So I see that you're using Kubernetes. An exclusive sort of instance of Kubernetes for each deployment, right? And I'm mapping it to central office. So each central office will have a Volta instance, and you have a separate Kubernetes cluster just for managing it, correct? Which is not available to anything else. Is that right?
I think it's not.
What
point.
Would you mean? What would you mean by saying it's not available to anything else? I didn't get that.
No, what I'm saying is like in so the way we are looking at this is, so there is a Kubernetes cluster managing Volta, right? And you have modeled this as a PNF, but now so with this structure, you are saying this is exclusively only for this Volta instance, right? Because you have completely abstracted that. The whole deployment object, right? Correct.
I think at an application architecture level, I think you're right. Operationally, we are not preventing any components from being deployed. So yeah. I suppose you want to deploy something orthogonal to what's already there, like XOS or ONOS or any some other third-party controller component. We are not preventing anything. I think we would be more than glad to... hear suggestions on what else would help to deploy and possibly use as some sort of a control plane component. But at this stage, we are not preventing anything. Going back to the original question, I think somebody else also wanted to answer this. There seems to be this two-stage...
It was Tom, maybe.
Yeah, it was Tom. Tom, do you want to take this forward? I can respond.
Yeah, I've been having trouble getting a word in. I don't know if I'm too quiet on the call. But the high level thing I'd like to say is that what we're looking at in Volta is a printer or a toaster, not a cloud. That as the last person just mentioned, this is not a general purpose environment where ONAP is going to be able to put arbitrary workloads. It's going to boot itself into the one and only workload it runs, which is Volta. And it's going to give it's going to give one abstraction in the near term and can potentially grow to do others in the long term. So in the near term, all of these different components are used internally to create a OLT, a legacy PNF. And the management for OLTs is well known. It's something that we would want to configure from ONAP or from an OSS, BSS for other carriers or from their own orchestration systems other than ONAP. So in the same way that a printer today, if you were to open the box and ask people about how it's built, they would tell you it runs Linux and it has this kind of storage and it has these different subcomponents. Those are the kinds of questions and answers we're getting on the call here. But at the end of the day, it's still a printer, and it's not. You're not going to be able to restart processes or create new workloads to run in the printer. It just does the one thing. That's what the Volta pod does. Now, Cord, the technology that we've used to create this pod, is a cloud type. And in the long term, I think there's interest in understanding how cored cloud types could be integrated more intimately with ONAP. And so what we have is an opportunity to start as a printer and to start building on that abstraction to allow for monitoring internal components in a way that gets to become a cloud in the long term. Hopefully that's helpful.
It is, but I guess my reaction would be, Tom, that I understand that at some level of abstraction, this thing looks like a printer, right? And that's true, and that's true in many cases, right? But something has to know what the printer innards are and manage that. And it sounds like that something is ONOS in this case. But it sounds like functionally ONOS is or not. That was my
ONOS is an SDN controller. It's not the OS, right? So okay. There is a like the printer is going to have an internal bootstrap process. It's going to have an operating system and it's going to have applications. That all happens here too. We're not looking to have something else place a workload on this infrastructure. It comes preloaded with its workload, just like the printer does.
But so from here,
we could go in, you know, we can get into the details, but I think they're trying to say, I guess, kindly, that they're kind of irrelevant. That there won't be anything you can do about whether we choose Kubernetes. We do, but there's no option, right?
So Tom, is this configured by some other type of controller? What configures this pod? Does it come internally configured?
Okay, so just like you get a printer, it will boot up to a basic level. Same like a PNF. When you get a PNF, you'll get something that will come up to a certain level. But then there are what I call service configuration options.
And what does that? What does those
like ONAP to do, right? In the same way that a PNF would offer you a Yang model and a NetConf protocol to configure user-defined aspects, we want to expose the OLT Yang model because that's what this thing embodies. And we would like you to be able to configure that in a similar way.
So,
OLT is going to need to be configured to support the proper northbound protocols, to configure the failover mechanisms, to select various low-level operating parameters. It's going to collect faults and inventory on its line cards. Think about a chassis-oriented PNF and the type of things you would find in its management model. That's exactly what we would propose to reveal about the OLT that's embodied in this Volta work.
Right, Tom, this Parviz. Good. I guess you're right. You view the OLT, all your CU assets, for this discussion like PNF, like a big complex PNF. And then you mentioned right. That the NetConf and Yang aspects. Yang for the language that you basically code the internal behavior of the device. And then you use NetConf as a southbound interface that you can have ONAP, maybe SDNC, to really do the control aspects for this connectivity service. Or you're putting your ONOS as a domain controller upstream to SDNC, or you bypass ONOS altogether?
See, I think folks misunderstand how ONOS is used internally. It is not the same kind of controller that you would find in ONAP. ONOS is managing an SDN control plane. So it manages forwarding rules, it manages multicast signaling, It manages attachment and gating like you would do with PPP or 802.1x, the kinds of things like that. It does not set up Kubernetes. It does not manage or provision things that you would find in a netconf stack. Hey, Shocker. Good. Yes. Correct. So absolutely. And if you look at you see the picture in front of you right now shows kind of the problem we're solving, that we have multiple carriers that have different operation systems. Some of them have no ONAP. They have just their legacy OSS. And their OSS knows how to deal with a PNF. Google Fiber does their own thing in the background, but a number of carriers are interested in moving strongly toward ONAP control and management in their network. And so we seek to do abstraction that allows these three different systems to manage this access peripheral pod as if it were an OLT. Well, it is an OLT. We've taken it apart and put it back together with smaller components, but in the same way that you can buy a stereo either as a single integrated box, or you can get components you plug together to create a stereo system. Either way, you still have a stereo. In this case, we still have an OLT, and the OLT has the same basic concerns for management that you'd have with a PNF OLT.
So from an interface perspective, I wonder if this almost looks like a federated orchestrator as opposed to a PNF. I wonder if we should be looking at some of the external APIs connecting in here.
That is correct.
It certainly can, Shocker, and that's their proposal. But even in the case, so I guess the whole approach of ONAP is to disaggregate printers and other large functionality to allow us to disaggregate those into smaller VNF that can be managed.
Is that true? That's not something I've ever heard.
Gil, if I may be allowed to talk here, is this issue here, Tom and Shocker and Gil? I think I'll. Have one point to make here clearly that we don't require to understand the internals of a VNF or something. For us, VNF could be itself printing job, right? Or a PNF could be printer itself. We don't require to understand the internals of it for provisioning that with the ONAP system, because ONAP framework supports that for that part of thing where we have a controller level of thing. If you have a proper adapter in between which can send the kind of information which printer requires or any PNF requires, I think from there the handshake can go. So I don't think we require the understanding of internals of a PNF or a printer or whatever it is for that device. It could be black device for us. It could be black box for us. But what we are interested in, or maybe what we need to dig in, is not that black box, but what is the interface with which that box is right now. For a printer, we have a VGA cable, we have a USB, we have a HDMI, we have a Wi-Fi and all. So is ONAP right now compatible? ONAP, where it stands right now, is it compatible with that is what should be our focus then to see what is the black box all about? I mean, that's my point.
So here's my point, right? If a vendor came to ONAP and said, here are a collection of things that really look like multiple VNFs, but the vendor says, it really is, think of it as one VNF. We want to manage it like a single VNF, even though it spans multiple cloud instances and et cetera. We want to model it as a VNF and we want ONAP to manage it as a VNF. We could do that. Certainly you could do that, right?
Yes.
If they had their own custom controller and plugged it in, you could do that. You could hide from ONAP, but why would you do that? Why wouldn't you?
That's what I'm trying to say. This is a use case, right? This is a different use case. We are talking of different use cases. One use case where the vendor wants it to be black box, mm-hmm. we are good with it. We don't quite understand the details of that. What we are interested in is. Yeah, that's. Yes. Yes.